So anyway, it's so good that you're out here with us this evening. You know, I love stories. Anybody love stories? I really love stories, and I love telling stories. I love hearing stories. I love watching stories. Stories are great. And you know, Jesus was an absolute professional storyteller. He was a master at it, wasn't he? He was really, really good at telling stories. And he called them something different. He called them parables. And he would often go and see different things around him. And what he would do is he would take these different situations and he would apply them to the lives of people. So Jesus, as we know, he grew up in this town called Nazareth. And I had the chance of being there last November. Anybody been to Nazareth? Here, oh, wow, see, there you go. There's a few of you that have been there. I had a chance to be there last November, and Trish and Brian were with us as we were there. And this is some of the pictures from that town in Nazareth. I can imagine, now this is rebuilt, okay? This isn't the original town. That's quite a bit lower than this. I love some of these pictures because it kind of gives us an idea of what it would have looked like at that time, what the houses would have looked like, what they would have lived in. And Jesus was in that town. He was walking through a path, on a pathway at that time, probably very, very similar to this pathway. And as he was walking down the pathway in the distance, he saw a farmer that was going out and he was sowing seed. And if Jesus, I shouldn't say this, but if Jesus is anything like me, and he's not, he's a whole lot better than me, he probably watched that and he thought, there is a sermon illustration in that. And so he took it and he put it in his pocket. And sure enough, not a long time afterward, he went down to the Sea of Galilee. And we had a chance to be there as well. And he went to the Sea of Galilee. And it was crowded, folks. There was no room. There was no seats. It was incredibly crowded. So Jesus got into a boat. He pushed off from shore. And he thought back of what he had saw on this day in Nazareth. And it tells us this, oh my goodness, it's hard to read. But he tells us this in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. And now you can't read it probably too well, or maybe you can, I can't see it back there. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word? I like to stand as we read God's word together. And this is what it says. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, many things in stories, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. Father, thank you again for your word this evening. I thank you, Lord, that it is not something that has been written way in the past that has no relevance, but it has extreme relevance to us here today. And so I ask in Jesus' name, as we look at this parable, as we look at what you are trying to say to us, help us not just to hear these words, Father, but help us to look at how we can apply them so that we can live them out in a way that honors you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So let me just say a few things just to start off with. It says that Jesus went out from the house. Most likely that this situation happened in Capernaum. And Capernaum was a place where Peter lived, and we had a chance actually seeing what they think was Peter's house. The reason they think that is because when they excavated this part, they found many different pictures and writings, not pictures, there weren't pictures back then, but writings that came from the, or that were about the apostles. So they figured that this was Peter's house, and it was a very short walk from Peter's home down to the Sea of Galilee. We're talking about a 5 or 10 minute walk down to the sea. And so it tells us that as they went down to that field, there was a great crowd that followed him. By the way, one thing we found very interesting when we were in Nazareth is that this one place, there was every bit of soil that is talked about here in this portion of Scripture. You saw the rocky places, you saw the places where the weeds were growing up, and then you saw the very lush place, and this is a picture from there. And I want to talk to you today, I want to talk to you about the sower, because Scripture makes it clear who that sower is. Right? If you read on a little bit later, it says the sower is Jesus. He goes out and he sows, not seed, but he goes out and he sows the word. So I'm not going to talk to you so much about the sower, and I'm not going to talk to you so much about the seed, which is the word, but I want to talk to you about the soil, and I've called this the dirt in you. Now, we're not going to talk about the dirt about you, okay? We're not bringing up dirt about you, but what kind of soil do you and I have in our life? And I want to talk about these four different types of soil. I've called them the set soil, the superficial, the secular, and the successful. Let's talk about, or look into, first of all, the soil that was set. It says he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on the very hardened soil along the path, is what he's saying. And this is a picture of people that are very set in their ways. It's a picture of people that think, man, I've got it all together. I know what I'm doing. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. Maybe these guys have been hurt sometime in their life. Maybe something happened in their life that they put up a wall and said, man, I don't want to go. I don't want anybody near me. I don't want anybody to talk to me, and don't you dare come in and try to talk to me about Jesus. I don't know if you've ever met anybody like that. Somebody that was super hardened in their life. I've met people like that. And you know, the crazy thing is, most people like that, they have a strong exterior, a strong, gruff exterior, but deep down, they're really hurting. If we can only get through that exterior, if God can only penetrate that exterior, these are people that maybe have been set, or maybe they're people that think, you know what, I don't need anything, I know it all. I met a guy like that who said to me and said to his wife, I don't need to go to church because I can speak a lot better than the pastor. And I'm thinking, probably you can, but I don't need church. Because you know what? I understand the word of God a lot better than anybody else. And they think they're better. It's really hard for God to take his word and plant it into a life of someone who thinks they know it all. So I want you to stop and I want you to consider, what is your soil like? What is your life like? See, because when we are in a place that we are very hardened, have you ever tried to break up hardened soil? Try it with a pickaxe. Boom, it bangs right back in your head. Try to with a shovel. It's just really hard to get through. The Spirit of God wants to get into our lives. There's hope. There is hope. Even the hardened soil can break through. I love this picture because it's a picture of a mountain, a picture of a rock, actually. And you notice there's a tree growing out. See, God can get through. And can I say, if you know people in your life that have been incredibly hardened, there is something going on and they have set up a wall, God can get through. But we got to pray that that soil penetrates. Even as set in their ways that they are, that soil can be penetrated. So here is these people that were set in their ways. They maybe have put up this wall, and it says that the birds of the air came and ate up the seed that was planted. Last Sunday night, Pastor Nicole was talking about the birds and talking about how the birds are a good picture of demonic activities. And it's a great picture of God wanting to plant something, and Satan is doing everything in his power to take that seed away. Picture of the birds. Honestly, Trish, there are some birds out there, they may as well be demonic. Like, let's talk about crows, okay? I mean, there's something wrong with crows. I think they came out with the fall of man, I'm just saying. But the enemy comes and tries to steal what God has planted. Folks, can I encourage you, never give up praying that God would get through, that God would be able to plant his seed. And if you, again, if you have a hardened place in your life, can I encourage you to say, God, just help me. Help break this thing up. Because if we get set, God can't do what he wants to do. Second type of soil was what I call the superficial. It says this, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. The superficial. I love the gym. And one of the things I love is January at the gym. It's fun to be at the gym in January. So I'm in at the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning, and 5 o'clock in the morning, I tell you, no joke, the first week in January, it's packed. All these people are coming out and they're working hard. I'm telling you, they're pumping weights. They're running on the treadmill. They're doing their thing. They're working hard. The second day of January, third day of January, they're out there. They're working hard. The fourth day of January, they're working not quite as hard, but they're there. The fifth day of January, they're out there talking to each other. By the sixth and by the next week, they're just not there. You know what I'm talking about? They lasted, maybe they've lasted 2 weeks. I've seen them last maybe a couple of weeks or so. But they're the superficial. They're the ones that grab onto something. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a change in my life. But then they get distracted and it becomes too hard. And who wants to get up at 4:30 in the morning anyways to the gym? You got to be crazy. Here's these folks that it tells us that the seed was planted in their life, but the soil was very, very superficial. It was very, very thin. There wasn't a whole lot of soil there. When I was in Israel, down in Israel, they have soil that is a very thin layer of soil. And if you go underneath that thin layer of soil, you will find a limestone rock. And so the roots can only go down a certain depth. And that's it. And to penetrate that limestone rock is very difficult. So what happens? People get very excited about the things of God, and they begin to shine, and they take the word in, and they listen to it, and they begin to assimilate it into their lives, and some good things start to happen. But then what happens is, as it says in the Bible here, the sun comes up. The sun's a good thing, right? We need the sun. We need the sun to help the trees and the plants to grow. But the sun can also be very dangerous because it can burn, it can scorch, it can do damage. See, here's the thing, folks. You and I, this is a promise from God. It's a promise from Jesus, not from me, but he's made many promises, and I've said it from this pulpit. One of the promises is this. He says that all godly people, every one of us, will suffer persecution. How many of you are looking forward to that? Hallelujah. Bring it on, God. No, that's not really something we like to look into. But here's the problem. Persecution is not a bad thing, like the sun is not a bad thing. Adversities aren't bad things. I hate to tell you that. But they're not bad because they help us to grow stronger, help us to go deeper, help us to find more and take more time in the Word of God and say, God, how do I make it through this situation? And we go deep. But if we don't allow ourselves to go deep, it's going to make us fade and wither. It's very unfortunate that many people, and I'll talk more about this, but many people in their superficiality of their faith, their roots just stay on top. And when the storms come, guess what happens? They fall over. We have the superficial. Then we have what I call the secular. And these are people, it says, other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. See, here's it. Here's what happens to a lot of Christians nowadays. They go to church on Sunday. They do this thing they're supposed to do, right? We're going to church. We're listening to the music. Maybe we're even singing along occasionally. We're listening to what the pastor has to say. And maybe we're even taking a few notes. But then what happens is Monday to Saturday, well, we don't necessarily live it out. We go a different way and we do our own thing. And sometimes we forget to keep God in our everyday life. There's a website that I was on this week. It's called I Believe. And on the website, they said that there are 8 sins Christians are starting to ignore in our society. 8 sins that we are ignoring. I'm going to tell you 5 of them. I'm not going to go through all 8 of them. But I thought, you know what? When I read the heading, I thought, sins we're starting to ignore. What possible sins could the church or Christians be starting to ignore today? And as I went through it, and I think you're going to think the same thing. I'm going, oh, yeah, that's true. So the first one I want to talk about is selfishness or self-righteousness. You know what I'm talking about, right? People that are so self-consumed, looking at themselves, trying to get more and more and more for themselves, or making themselves look better and better to others around them, that the attention, the spotlight is on them, not the spotlight. And how can I make an impact for the world, to the world around me? And they become self-consumed, they become self-righteous. This is what God says in Romans chapter 2. It says this, but for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be what? Now, I look at this and I'm thinking, dear Jesus, help me not to live there. Help me not to live in a self-righteous area. It's not that God wants to pour out wrath, but when we choose to focus on ourselves, we get our eyes off of Jesus, and that leads to some very dangerous consequences. The second sin is, now how much is this in our lives? Fear and worry. Fear and worry. I've talked about this so many times from the pulpit. How many times we get consumed with fear. I've talked to people that are fearful of everything from spiders to that they're going to get run over by a car when they walk out the door. Can you imagine if we lived our lives in the light of fear? Man, we wouldn't even be going to bed at night, let alone going on to the... Because if we go to bed at night, we might die during our sleep. And somebody might break into our house during the night. I talk to my kids, and they listen to these podcasts. And one of the podcasts they listen to... Okay, folks, there's some things you shouldn't be listening to, just saying. But one of the podcasts they listened to was a podcast of a guy that was eating dinner. And then he finished, he cleaned up, and he came the next morning, him and his wife, he went into the kitchen, and a bunch of food was gone, more food. And he's thinking, well, my wife must have come out during the night, and she obviously ate more food, and so he left it being. The next night, same thing, food was missing. And they're thinking, what in the world? So they set up a camera. And as they went to bed that night, the cupboard opened up above their stove, and out walks a lady. And she walked into the kitchen, she made herself some food, and she crawled back up into the cupboard. They called the police, and they found out she was living in their attic and was coming in and through this cupboard. And so my kids are listening to this thing, and they're going, okay, Dad, let's close all the windows, let's make sure the attic is safe, and fear begins to rise up. Folks, let me tell you something. If we live by fear, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. See, and I think that the problem, the biggest problem with fear and the biggest problem of with fear and worry is there's no love in it. See, here's what the Bible says in 1 John 4:8. There is what? No fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Sometimes I wonder if we have allowed fear to replace love. The third sin that he mentions is this, it is pride. It's arrogance, it's looking at ourselves, it's inflating ourselves and making ourselves look better than we actually are. And Proverbs tells us very clearly, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now we're not talking about being proud of something we've done. We're talking about being puffed up and thinking that we are better than someone else. The fourth sin that he talks, or that was written here is, and it's interesting, that they brought this up as a sin that we ignore. It's gluttony. I have now I've done my share of dumb things, okay? I've done my share of said things from the pulpit and so forth that I need to repent on and so forth. I need to examine my life. But I find it interesting when I see people on the pulpit talking against sin, preaching against sin, and condemning different type of sin, and they're probably 200 pounds overweight. Are you following me? It's still, and you know, it's interesting because I know of people that have gone into all-you-can-eat buffets and they eat like incredibly big pigs and they're eating and eating and eating. And I've seen people that have gone in, have eaten themselves sick, went and threw up in the bathroom, came back to eat again. I was at an all-you-can-eat rib dinner one time. And I've told this story to a few people. All-you-can-eat rib dinner. And I ate a total of, I think, 3 racks of ribs, and I was done. I was so done. And I said to the waitress, I said, just out of curiosity, what's the most anybody's eaten? And she said, the most somebody ate was 27 racks of ribs. I said, what? She says, yeah, they actually had to carry him out. He couldn't walk afterwards. He sat there for 3 hours and eat. Now, that's not okay. That's not okay. See, because the Bible tells us, listen, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat for drunkenness and what? Gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. If you go to the Proverbs chapter 23, verse 2, it says, put a knife to your throat if you're given to gluttony. In other words, don't go there. Don't go there. We choose to ignore the sin. And last one that we choose to ignore, which is very, very unfortunate, is gossip. And you know, folks, I'm guilty. Okay? We're all guilty. We're guilty of this. Talking about someone when they're not around. And we do Christian gossip, don't we? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know about Christian gossip? Present, let me just tell you about so-and-so. I'm going to tell you this because I want you to pray for them. What? Really? Really? It's still gossip, isn't it? And then so Preza, of course, Preza won't do this. But then she goes on, she tells somebody else, and it becomes, and this person is discredited. Folks, gossip is deadly. And the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1, I find this so interesting, verse 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are what? Gossip. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteousness decree that those who do such things deserve death. I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, I can see the problem with murder and strife and deceit. I can see envy, but gossip in the same list with murder? Really, God? Are you serious? Aren't we murdering somebody when we're talking negative about them? Aren't we murdering their character? Aren't we putting them down? And see, this is the problem, folks. This is the weeds that have crept up in the life of a Christian. The seed was sown, but you know, we've become complacent, and we've allowed these weeds to choke us out. How many of you know that you don't have to do much maintenance on weeds? You don't have to water them much. You don't have to fertilize them. They just seem to grow up on their own, right? It takes a lot of work to take care of the good plants. Ron brought over some tomatoes and some stuff to our place, and he carefully fertilized them and put them. They're doing great. It takes a lot of work, but the weeds, they just seem to grow up on their own. We have to be careful that we cultivate our soil properly and we don't allow things like gossip and things that are evil to get into our lives. It's very, very sad. See, here's the problem. When we fill our lives or we allow these things to come into our lives, they will choke the seed. But we know what we need to do, right? What do you need to fill your life with? It's an easy answer. It's usually the number one answer you ask Sunday school kids, and they always give you the right answer, right? It's Jesus, right? If you don't know what to answer, just answer Jesus. It's good. You'll get points for that. We got to fill our lives with the Word of God, with Christ. The sad thing is that there was a statistic that said that in the States, and you know, quite honestly, I don't think it's much different here in Canada, 57% of Americans read the Bible less than four times a year. Less than four times in a year. And listen, only 26 read it more than four times a week. It takes a while to cultivate the right plants in our lives. And it's cultivated through this, folks. It's cultivated by reading the Bible and saying, God, what do you want to say to me? How do you want to speak to me? Well, there are those that, there are different type of soil. The last soil that I want to talk to about, and I want to end on a positive note, is a successful soil. It says here in verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil, will it produce a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, I want this kind of soil in my yard, right? A kind of soil that's rich, that's vibrant, that's full of good, solid manure. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about us being rich and full, all that, right? But we want rich stuff. We need God to, through His Holy Spirit, to prepare our hearts, to prepare the soil in our lives so that we can be fruitful, so that we can be successful in the things of Christ, that we can produce fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, you know it. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, what? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We want that. I want it. I know you do as well. God, give us good soil. God, give us strong hearts. God, give us receptive lives to receive from you what you have for us. See, there's a difference about knowing this and then putting it into practice. See, Jesus said here, he who has ears, let him hear. You sit there and you go, that's kind of a weird way to end, isn't it, Jesus? He who has ears, let him hear. I mean, seriously, if you've got ears, you should be hearing. Well, hopefully, but not necessarily, right? Come on, you, those that have kids, come on, stick with me here. You know what I'm talking about. They're listening, but they're not hearing. You know what I'm saying? You're talking to them in their face, and they're like, yeah, mm-hmm, uh-huh. So what did I just say? Or the best one. This is great. You're talking to them and they're doing this. By the way, come next Sunday, I'm going to talk about distractions. And I'm going to talk about some of the social media stuff. So you want to be here. It's convicting me as I'm preparing them. Just saying, okay? But and then they're doing this and they're playing on their phones and all that stuff. And you're telling them some important information. You know what? I dare you. Parents, grandparents, do this one time. When you're talking to their kids and you're doing this, and just talk with them and throw something in there like, yeah, and I'm going to give you $100 next week. And also, it's important that you follow Jesus and see if they listen. See if they heard that. Because chances, maybe they did. Maybe that's the only thing they'll hear, right? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, when we were in Israel, we met an incredibly wonderful guy. It's the best picture I got of him. You probably got better of him than I do, Trish. His name was Itai. Great guy. He was a great guide for us. He guided us through all sorts of areas in Israel. And man, did he know his Bible. Wow, did he know his Bible. Pastor Lance, I'm sure he knew it better than you and I. Like, he really knew his Bible. He knew where to find things, and he knew the interpretation. He knew the application. He knew it well. The only problem with Itai is he's not a believer. See, you can know a lot of stuff, folks. You can have all sorts of understanding of the Word of God, but you gotta put it to practice. He who has an ear, let him hear what God says to the churches. I want to end with this challenge to you. I'm wondering, if the person closest to you, whoever that may be, if you were to go up to them and say, what kind of soil? You got to explain it, okay? Explain it. But if you were to ask them, what kind of heart do I have? Do I have a heart that's hard? Do I have a heart that is shallow? Do I have a heart that gets caught up in the secular stuff? Or do I have a heart that is really open and the fruit of God is just working in my life? It would be interesting to find out what people would say to you that are closest to you. But I think it would be even more interesting if you said that to God. God, what type of heart do I have? Do I have a hard heart? Do I have a shallow heart? Am I allowing the stuff of around me just to kind of squash out the seed? Or am I developing the fruit that you want in my life? And if it's anything but the fruit, can I encourage you? Look at the things we need to change, the things you need to make different in order to allow God to develop the fruit. We need fruitful Christians. Folks, please, in this day, more than ever before, we need solid Christians. We need people that will take a stand for righteousness, a stand for truth, and love like never before. So God, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, would you examine my heart? Would you examine each one of our hearts? And Lord, help us to understand and to see where we are at with what you want of us as believers. If there are areas that we've become hardened or superficial or secular and allowed the world to creep in and things of the world that are just not okay, not healthy for us. God, forgive us. Forgive me. And help us to have a receptive life, to receive from you, to allow you to plant the good things into our lives. Father, I pray, would you till that soil? Would you dig down? Would you take out the rocks and all the stuff that keeps your word from finding a good place in our lives? And Jesus, help us to be lovers of you. Help us to be lovers of others, to share the love of you to those around us that so desperately need it. So I pray blessing on your people here tonight. I pray strength. I pray peace. I pray encouragement. I pray, Father, help us to live this out this week. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.